Psalm 139. This is, we kind of had a little VBS this morning, VBS Sunday. Did you guys do the actions? Was that fun? It's kind of cool, huh? Man, the energy, I tell you what, we'd go in the room and then we'd start with 10, 15 minutes, songs or whatever, and then they'd go and kind of do all their things, and it was 2 hours long, the whole deal was. So they go to the marketplace, and so you had everyone dressed up like they were from Babylon. A lot of the workers, we had shawls on and robes and, turbans, and it was pretty silly looking. But kind of after a couple of days, you kind of really got used to it, and it was really cool. I mean, it really added to the effect. So what we missed this morning is the Jorgensen girls were some of the action girls. And so they were all up front in their robes and everything and doing all the actions. It was awesome. It was just awesome. So you had to take all the kids through, and then Barb and Trisha were up front behind the microphones doing actions. So you'd get all the kids through their 2 hours of stuff. Well, by the end of 2 hours, and they had snack time, and they got to go outside and watch stuff get launched with catapults. I mean, it was just crazy. So after that, you can imagine they're just kind of wired. And so we bring them back in that room and do the songs that we did earlier and then add some more. And Stephen would talk and kind of sum up the night and stuff. And some of those nights at the end, we'd get to the jumping up and down song and whatever. And it was just mass chaos. I mean, good, and good, but just the amount of energy that could be in that room is just palpable. Psalm 139. So anyways, the theme, we talked about, it was Babylon, and we had Daniel and Ashpenaz. And if you can't remember his name, goes, Ashpenaz has pizzazz. That's how I remember it. It actually works. And so Daniel and Ashpenaz would tell the story, and eventually he got thrown in the lion's den, and you guys all know the story. But also, we had tribes, Dan and Asher and Gad and Joseph and Naphtali and Levi and Judah. So all the different tribe leaders. And so they would teach different things. We'd have little tribe sessions and we'd teach. There'd be a little lesson. And so kind of the theme through the whole thing, besides being Babylon and stuff, is God is with you. And so that theme song that we played this morning, through it all, God is faithful, through it all, our God is strong. So like the first night is God is with you when you're, scared? Well, change. God is with you when things change. So we went around the group and asked kids, things that change, maybe move to a different place or go to a different school or whatever, and God's with you. And the second night is God's with you when you're afraid or whatever. And another night is God is with you when you're lonely. And the last night was God is with you when you're thankful. And so it was not just about God being with you in the bad times. God's with you in the good times. And so I thought I would kind of just springboard off that this morning and just talk about God being with us. How many know that God is with you? Yeah? Kind of? How many know it, or how many just know it because you've heard it before? Had a story. One of the gals said, didn't say who it was. I don't even want to know who it was. But some little girl was scared of the dark, and that was kind of one of the biggest things. Spiders and dark, some about dying, some storms, but mostly spiders and dark, okay? So they're scared of the dark. So this little girl was scared of the dark, and I don't know what tribe she was in, but man, she got it. The tribe leader talked about, God's with you when you're scared. Talked about how you don't have to be scared, and they would list off things that they were scared about. And I can't remember there was always a little object lesson, and so how you could see how that would translate into your life or whatever. She goes home that night, and they have a basement, and it's always dark down there, and it's always scary down there, and the little girl would never go down there. And she went home that night, and she said, Mom, I'm going down the basement. And the mom was just floored. She said, what do you mean? She said, you're always scared to go down there. Yeah, God's with you when you're scared, and God's with you in the dark. And Mom, you can come down with me too if you want. You don't have to be scared. God's down there too. And they got it. Isn't that cool? Stories like that God's changing kids' lives. That's amazing. That's what it's about. So God's with you. Psalm 139. I want to just set the foundation for this. Verse number 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So you can't hide from God. God's there. God's everywhere. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. If you want to go from Psalms, keep going forward, you'll find Jeremiah. But judging by how many raise their hands for marking in their Bibles, you shouldn't need any help getting to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23, verse 23 says, Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. When I talk about hiding from God, what immediately comes to mind? Any stories from the Bible? Jonah. What'd you say? Adam and Eve. Exactly. What did Adam and Eve do after they sinned? Hid. And was God befuddled and didn't know where they were? No. What'd Jonah do? Tried to run away. Yep. Went out on a ship. Tried to disappear. Did God find him? Yep. Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him? Do I not fill heaven and earth? So God is everywhere. And we all kind of know that. I mean, one of the foundational tenets of Christianity is God's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. We know that. But so is gravity and air. And I'm thankful for gravity and air, but some days, big deal. Do you know what I mean? If you're really going to be honest, you've had days where you felt, now this seems sacrilegious, but if we're going to grow, we really need to be real. So you felt some days, probably if you're human, that God is much akin to gravity and air. Sure, he's everywhere, and yeah, the air is helping me breathe, but big deal. I could use a little assistance here. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I know God's everywhere, but how about doing something? How about showing up? How, you know what I mean? No, you're kind of looking at me strange. You just don't want to admit it, do you? We've all kind of felt that way. Now, maybe we were good and we kind of pounded that thought down and said, no, God's sovereign, and you know, and we should. But if we're human, we've got doubts sometimes. And sure, yeah, I learned in Sunday school, God is everywhere, but big deal. So let's read another verse. Psalm 46. Easy. Psalm 46. This one expands on that a little bit. So God is everywhere. He's high in the mountains. He's low in the depths of the ocean. He's on the far ends of the earth. He's in the church. He's in the streets. He's in the alleys. He's in my car. So we know God's everywhere. Psalm 46 takes it another step further. Psalm 46 says, verse number 1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present, say ever-present, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall in the sea. Goes on and talks about a bunch of different things. But the writer of the Psalms there said, God's our refuge and strength, an ever-present help. Now he's not just saying that God is everywhere. He's saying he's always present, but he's always present for a purpose. He's always present to help. God's there to do something. We've got that in Scripture. We see that. We just read it. God's there to help. He's there to move in our situations. He's there to show up and to give counsel and to give wisdom and to interact and to walk with us and to change things and to change us. And God's an ever-present help. And so that's what we were talking about at VBS, is that God's an ever-present help. God's always there with us. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Page 1832 in this Bible. Ephesians chapter 1. And pastors preach on this verse 1,000 times. I think I've preached on these verses. But I want to tie something in with kind of this idea. So we're cool with the idea that God's everywhere? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right, good with that. All right, just want to make sure you're still with me. And not only is he everywhere, but he's everywhere and present to what?
Help.
Right? Yes. Okay. I had you, then I lost you. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse number 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. Now watch this. Verse number 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. Say, the eyes of my heart. That the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you might know what? The hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his, 19, his incomparably great power for us that believe. And then he goes on and he talks about, he explains that power. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. I think Pastor just preached on this verse just a week ago. Working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. So he's talking about that kind of power. So we've established that God is everywhere. And not only is God everywhere, but God's ever present. He's always present. He's with me wherever I go, and he's ready to help. So the issue is not getting God to show up. We always think we gotta get God to show up and do something, and we've seen he's ever present and he's ready to help. He's there and he's ready to help. He's ready to do something. He's ready to move. He's ready to intervene in the situation. He's ready to give wisdom and strength and guidance. Okay? So he's there. He's poised. And then there's some keys here. He says, I've prayed for you that you could have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The spirit of wisdom, capital S. The capital S, spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay? Last week, Pastor talked about the Holy Spirit, just really covering some 101 ground and really just pounding that into us. We need the Holy Spirit, don't we? We need the Holy Spirit. We need his guidance. We need his strength. We need his power. We need his wisdom. But Paul's praying that they could have the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that the eyes of their heart, so that their spirits, their spiritual eyes, that they could see something. Paul's praying. I'm praying for all you guys that you can see something. You need to know something. You got to see this. That's what he's saying. I keep praying for you. I want you to have the Holy Spirit so you can see something. Here's what you need to see. There's hope. Man, there is hope. Man, that speaks to how I make my decisions, how I feel about things. It speaks to my emotions because there's hope. There's, you know, how many of you have ever been in a situation you felt was hopeless? Raise your hand. Does it change how you act about things, the decisions you make? It does. I mean, it shouldn't. You know what I mean? I'm not talking spiritually, but it just defeats you. It deflates you. And Paul's saying, you need to know hope. You need to know hope. Every day in every situation, spirit for hope, okay? That's one of the things. And the riches of his glorious inheritance. That, you know, ladies, tomorrow night, you're going to see some about the inheritance, who you are, what you have in Christ. Man, there's blessings, there's character in you that's just amazing. And that goes for all of us. Just, we need to see that, okay? But then he gets to this next part, and he says, his incomparably great power for us who believe. His incomparably great power for us that believe. And so here's my point. Here's my premise. If God is everywhere, and if God's ever present and willing to help, and Paul is praying that we could know this power, then it's maybe not an issue of getting God to show up. Maybe it's an issue of seeing things differently and opening up our eyes to see and kind of maybe attacking things a little bit differently. What I want to present to you today, and this is not new stuff, but we're just reiterating today that God is in your midst. God dwells in this temple, and he is there and ever present to help. And some of the keys to unlocking that is just how we see things and how we react to things. And Paul is praying that you could see a little bit differently and you would know some power in your life. Do you get that? He's saying if you could see how this is supposed to move and work, you would unlock some keys to some power in your life. The power of the Holy Spirit. And we need God moments. I mean, we really do. We need to, you know, we need to come to church. We need to rub shoulders with people that got our back and will encourage us. And that's why we meet. That's why we can't give up meeting. It's not to get our punch. We don't have a spiritual punch card to make sure we still got our heaven ticket. You know, we don't come to church out of duty. We come to church because we need to, and people need you to be here. We have this exact opposite idea. I need to get to church so I can get filled up. That's part of it, but that's not the primary reason. You need to get to church because someone else needs you to be there for them. You've got a word. You've got a prayer. You've got an unction in your spirit of compassion for them. You've got a hand of healing to lay on them. You've got agreement to join with someone else and pray for something. You've got a prophecy. You've got prophetic songs in you. You've got stuff in you. You need to be here for us so that we can partake of what God's given you. Everyone's got a different piece. Everyone's got a gift. Everyone's got something to offer. And some of it's really public and some of it's really private. And all of it's equally important. Amen? Amen? Son. No. It's timing of the moment. That's funny. His incomparably great power for us who believe. It's like the working of his mighty strength. And he talks about how he raised Christ up and God put all things under his feet and anointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. He's just saying, you need to see how much is available for you. And so, the next part of this, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now remember, in that prayer, he said there's going to be some keys for you there's some hope. There's riches of your inheritance, and there's power, and we want to unlock those things. And so there's two different parts in there. I need you to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's revealing. That's wisdom. That's understanding, seeing, knowing things, right? Revelation. I mean, do we know what? Revelation is not just a book in the Bible, right? Revelation is one of our English words. I mean, it's revelation, revealing. God's a revealer. We've been talking in youth group, and there's some kids that. This whole God thing is really new to them. And so they'll get a part of it, and then they'll be like, just, you know, like way off, and just like, because they have no idea. They have no clue. And so they'll say, well, God doesn't think that's wrong, or, you know, just no idea. And I'll say, well, actually, let's look at this, and we'll go to some scripture. And they'll say, I have a hard time. I don't know if I can believe that. I say, if you're a seeker of God, and they say, I want to be, and they really do. I say, God's not, that don't bother him. He's not messed up by you disagreeing with him. But if your heart really wants to seek God, and they do, it does, he'll reveal himself to you. So we've been just talking for a few weeks just about God being a revealer. He loves to show himself to people that are seeking him. Amen? That's part of his nature. It's part of his character is to be hidden and found. Part of how he works, part of how he operates, he loves to be hidden and found. Not hidden and stay hidden, hidden and found. Part of the joy is in the seeking. And then you find, we find that if you read surveys and biographies, people that talk about having everything, once they get everything, they find that it's empty. Why? Because part of the, and Ravi talks about this a lot too, a lot of the happiness from things comes in the seeking of them, you know? It's the anticipation of Christmas presents. It's saving up for, you know, that's part of the joy in it. Part of, you know, and you can't get true joy from stuff, but part of the excitement in it. So they think the things hold the excitement. And so they get all the things, and you can read about this over and over and over and over and over and over again. And they get all the things, and they go, well, that's just things. And we find out that Solomon, you know, 4,000 years ago, wrote things and things and things and things, and it's empty. There's no, you know, part of the joy is looking forward to it and anticipation and all that stuff. Part of the joy in God is the anticipation, the seeking. And he plays kind of a cat and mouse game. Come and find me. And you look in the Song of Solomon, how there's kind of a cat and mouse. And that's a type of marriage also, as well as our relationship with Christ. Seek me, find me. And there's almost a kind of a playfulness. You can't imagine what I've got for you, he's saying. So Paul, in this prayer, two different times, prayed for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Then he prayed that the eyes of their heart would be opened. Now Ephesians chapter 4, here's a key. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 17. So I tell you this, and my Bible says, and I insist on it in the Lord. That's strong language. You don't find Paul using language a lot like that. When he does, you should pay attention to it. He says, I tell you this, and I insist. I'm going to make a point, and I'm going to stick to it, and I'm going to really say, you really need to do this. I'm going to insist on it. And this is for all of us. Wherever, no matter where you're at in your walk with Christ, because I'm going to read part of this and you're going to dismiss it and say, well, no, that's not. No, this is for you. Listen, there's a key here. I insist on it in the Lord that you no longer live as the Gentiles do. And he says this next thing, in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding. Now, what did we just read? The other two verses we just read about. Spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation. Say revelation. Okay? And that the eyes of our what? Eyes of our heart, or the eyes of our understanding, some of your Bibles say. The eyes of our understanding, or the eyes of our heart, would be opened up. There's an unlocking inside of us that needs to happen. Now watch. He says, don't live your life. Don't walk your days out. From morning to night, your everyday living activities. Don't live your life, your thought processes, the way that you do things, the way you interact with people. Don't live your life in the futility. What's futile? What does that mean? Futile is a 5-year-old boy trying to carve a statue with a plastic knife on a big piece of granite. Okay, good intentions, but it's futile. You and I both know, because we're older and we're more experienced, that's just not going to happen, okay? I mean, there's just laws of physics that are at work, and it's just, no matter, it's not an intensity issue, it's not a determination issue, it's not a passion issue, it's not an endurance issue, it's just not going to happen, okay? That's what futile is, just doing something that there's no point in doing it. So he said, don't live like the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. And then listen to this, 18. They're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. They're darkened in their understanding and they're separated from the life of God. Then you go down to verse number 19. Having lost all sensitivity. Say sensitivity. Having lost all sensitivity. Okay, so they're darkened, their thinking is bad, it's futile. They're darkened in their understanding, like their understanding is dulled, like it's no good anymore. They don't get it. And so because of that, they've lost all sensitivity. What does sensitive mean? Like if you've got sensitive skin, what would be the result of that? It what? Yeah, easily felt. Like my wife has sensitive skin. So just try this later. Just take your fingernail and just go down her arm. And it puffs up, man. It looks like she just got in a knife fight, you know, been stitched up. I mean, it's pretty crazy. That's sensitive. It easily responds. If you talk about guys being sensitive, what might they do often? What's some reaction that they may have often? Cry, yeah. That's like, it's kind of the typical thing. Oh, guy's crying. Oh, he's sensitive. We should be, okay? Saying that, don't be like the people that have lost their sensitivity. Now, we're going somewhere with this. We're talking about God's ever present. How do we get him involved in our situations? You start to see how we're going to connect the dots here? God's all around us. God's willing to help us. He's ever present for help in time of trouble. So you should not be like the Gentiles, and their thinking is no, there's no point to it because they've lost their sensitivity. So we should have understanding and revelation, and we should be sensitive. We should be sensitive to the things of God. There's two ways that you can approach life in the very narrow scenario that we're talking about today. There's two ways that you can approach every situation. There's two ways that you can approach disciplining your kids. There's two ways that you can approach your grumbly boss at work. There's two ways you can approach your backbiting friend. There's two ways you can approach people who are naysaying you. There's two ways you can approach, you know, whatever it is, fill in the blanks. All of us live life every day. We all don't get a break. We don't get to just come to church and then check out for a week. You know, it just, life happens. It goes on. We live it every day, don't we? We have jobs and family and responsibilities and just physical bodies that we've got to live in and take care of. And so there's two ways that you can respond and react and live out your life. The first way is the way that we're all very accustomed to doing, and it comes very naturally to us, and that is the natural way, the soulish way, to take in information with our five senses and to use our soul, our mind, our emotions, our intellect, and process that information and come up with a conclusion. And in fact, if everyone did that, we would be better off. Because some people don't even do that much, okay? But then there's even a better way, okay? So that's natural. And in the beginning, that worked a little better because our soul was redeemed. Our soul was, it was created perfect, and it was in the right place. Right now, how many emotions have ever gotten out of control? Now, I'm going to say something. Your soul is not evil, okay? Your soul is not evil, but I'm going to say something else. Your soul is not godly. Your soul is not godly. Have you ever been laying in bed in the night and can't go to sleep and you've just been gripped by fear and worry? Anyone? Oh, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. Oh, man. Is that godly? Is the Spirit of the Lord birthing those thoughts in your mind? So then your soul is not godly or trustworthy, is it? Doesn't mean it's evil. 2 + 2 is, that's truth. That's good. God's truth. We learned when I went to Bible college, it's the only thing I remember about Bible college. All truth is God's truth. I have no idea what that means, but I remember that. And so, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. You know, that's truth. There is truth in that. You know, that's a good thing. Learning is a good thing. We send our kids to school. We believe in God and believe they should be Christians, and they should go to school. They should learn, you know. We should teach our children. We should teach ourselves. We should always be learning, right? So your soul is not evil. It's not godly. It needs to get directions. So we take this soul that's not godly, our mind, which is a good thing, and we reason our way through things. And if that's where we stop, we're missing. That's where we're missing the ever-present help in times of trouble. Now watch this. having lost all sensitivity. Now, if God's always around us, here we're bringing it all home right now. If God's always around us and he's willing to help, how do you suppose we tap into that? We need to regain a sensitivity. Now we're getting it. God's there and he's speaking. And he's speaking. And he's moving and he wants to do things. Now watch this. How many of you have ever experienced this pattern? This is how we typically live our spiritual lives when situations come up. Situation arises and we pray. Might pray with 10 people. We might pray especially at the church. We might, you know, we pray and then that's kind of it. Then we're done. Then we go on, you know. And we think God needs to move in this situation. And it's true. God does need to move. And there are times, very often, that God does supernatural things separate from us. But let me pose this as one of my ending points, that's not the ultimate pattern that God wants. We're seeing a shift maybe back to how God originally intended things to happen, that instead of us praying and then kind of walking away from things and really believing God's going to do something, God wants part of the agent of change to be you. God wants you to be involved in the situation. Does that make sense? Instead of praying and walking away, and God will do things. I'm not saying that. Please don't misunderstand me. God does do that, independent of us. And it's God doing it. And either way, it's God doing it. But what we need to get as a church is, hey, God wants to do something, and he wants me to be right in the middle of it and be part of it. That's the difference. God, you need to help in this situation. Thank you. Thank you that you are. And we walk away, and we look back 3 weeks later, and we're like, oh, cool, God did. And that's good. But what if in the middle of that same situation, good or bad, it doesn't always have to be a crisis. I mean, in a good situation, what about in our daily lives? What about when we're driving in the tractor? Why can't we have sensitivity and hear God say, something's going to break? And not in a bad way. Stop before it turns into a big thing and go check. You know, I just sense maybe on this outside wheel. And you go back there, and sure enough, things just barely hanging on. If I would have went down the road, it would have knocked off and went through a windshield, and, you know, could have been bad. What if, when we're teaching, you just sense, oh, man, you know that kid that's acting out, you just all of a sudden, you know, something's going, I know I need to pull them aside and talk to them. Something's going on. Or as a mom, or, you know, with your coworkers, you walk in and you know that I need to talk to this person about such and such. That's weird. Sensitivity. And all of a sudden, guess what? The resources of heaven start opening up as I start stepping into that going, hey, I can change situations. Someone's got a hurt knee or a bum shoulder or whatever. I can be that agent of change in the middle of this situation. So you can either use your soul or you can learn to listen with your spirit. You can learn to, my mom's been praying in our prayers all the time about activating our spirits and calling our spirits to attention. You've got a part of you, a third part of you that we're not used to in America. We're not used to hearing and listening to. We're not used to walking by and feeling that. And there's the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit, let's go to, where are we at? 1 Corinthians maybe? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This will be the last one we turn to today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's see what this says about our spirit. See, we think about the Holy Spirit. How many have ever heard a message or thought about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit. Often, yes. But how often do we hear about our spirit? Our spirit. Well, that's the little guy that no one ever talks about. We all talk about our minds and our emotions, and we hear messages about this stuff, and we hear messages about us and the Holy Spirit. And it's just kind of implied in there somewhere that our spirits have a role. But you don't often hear our spirits talked about. But that's the real you. That's the part that talks to God. That's the part that can get the answers from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's go to verse number, 10 maybe. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's, the little s, the man's spirit within him? Okay, he's saying that your spirit knows what your mind is thinking. Okay? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. All right. So the Holy Spirit knows God's thoughts. Your spirit knows your thoughts. We've not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we may, here's that word again, understand. That we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Holy Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, little s. The spiritual man, here's your spirit. Your spirit makes judgment about all things. But he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Here, listen to this. But we have the mind of Christ. And we all can clearly know that we do not have the mind of Christ. When you're laying in your bed thinking those thoughts, do you have the mind of Christ? Come on. Not happening. But yet it says it. But it gives us a pattern. It gives us a pattern there that the Spirit of God knows God's thoughts and your spirit knows your thoughts. Maybe there's some kind of connection that needs to happen there. So who knows God's thoughts? The Holy Spirit. Who knows our thoughts? Our spirit. So how do we get the mind of Christ? We need to connect those two. And we need to stop, listen. This is the first time I've even gotten this, and I don't think I've got it yet. But it's the first time I've gotten any clue of this. I kept thinking, we have the mind of Christ. And I've heard 100 people say it. We've got the mind of Christ. We've got the mind of Christ. And I'm a pretty logical, analytical kind of guy, and I walk out of church going, I do not have the mind of Christ. And I'll walk through the day. I've got the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ. I've got 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 the mind of Christ. Ooh, I want some tacos. I've got the mind. That's not the mind of Christ. Do you know what I'm saying? If we can stop being so spiritual enough to maybe connect the dots, we don't always have the answers, but it just wasn't working. And I never got it. To have the mind of Christ doesn't mean that, to me. And listen, I'm just kind of dabbling with this. So if this is wrong, that's all right. You'll clear it up for me later. But here's what I see. I've always thought that this mind is the mind of Christ because it says we have the mind of Christ. This mind is not the mind of Christ. This is the mind of Kirk. But somehow you think your mind, you think, okay, the mind, well, my mind is the mind of Christ, you know? And I could never reconcile that. Now I go, my spirit hears the Holy Spirit and he knows God's thoughts. That's the mind of Christ. That's the mind of Christ. And all of a sudden I get downloads. We were going to bed the other night. Big old long day. And it was like Friday or something. And we lay down. It's just, you know, been crazy late nights all the time. And we lay down and Marnie goes, so you're preaching Sunday. I said, yeah. What are you preaching on? And seriously, I had no clue. Zero. I said, I don't know. I said, I prayed about it earlier today. I did, because I did. I said, God, you know, I really want your discernment, your direction. I said, I have no idea. I laid there for about 30 seconds, and I said, or didn't have. She goes, did you just get a download? I said, yeah. And so I had a reaction. I said, God's got to wait till I'm laying down. I'm like, oh, yeah, God waited because that's the first time I took to listen. It's not rocket science. But what was I expecting? I was expecting some supernatural heavens open in what needed to happen. Sensitivity. I needed to just stop and listen. So you can approach it from a soulish, and we should think, Please don't say that Kirk's telling you not to think, because there's enough of that going on. Okay? Just read Facebook. There's enough not thinking going on. So I'm not saying don't use your mind. But I'm saying that the primary way that we should approach and live our lives, Paul said, in the futility of their thinking, saying there's no point in trying to solve every problem with normal soulish solving your problem, because you don't have the resources. You don't have what, you don't know people's motives. When I'm talking to Scott and he's really getting on my case, and man, he's giving me the business, I can't see his motives. I can react to my five senses, but I don't know what hurt him before that. I don't know that maybe he just needs someone just to say, hey, come on, let me hug you. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what's behind it. God does. I've got the mind of Christ. See, it works in addition to this one. I move over and I listen to my spirit, and the Holy Spirit is connecting with my spirit, and that he's got the mind of Christ. And I stop and I say, God, make me sensitive. How do I handle this? Bam. As we start to listen and start to learn how God speaks, let me give you this final challenge. Give up the box that you put God's voice into. Okay? The way that you think God speaks. I'm not saying he doesn't speak that way. I'm saying he doesn't only speak that way. I'd be willing to bet just about anything that if you really start listening, you will be presented with ways that God's speaking to you that you had no idea. And if you stop and you look backwards on it, you can go, bing, 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 bing. Man, how could I miss that? Isn't that? Someone came out last summer and said, I can't hear God talk. And so we went over about five different ways. And it was like, and it was for me as I was, because I didn't even really know what to say in response to that. And as we started talking about it, it was a learning moment for both of us saying, wow, Jim and I have had the same conversation in the last year. How can we not have known that God could speak like this? You know, and you've been a Christian, you know, at least 10 years, you know. And not as long as Kathy, but how could we not know that God could speak like this? Just unique and cool little ways. Let God be cool to you. He is amazing in his creativity and how he wants. We've all got different personalities. Some of you, he'll speak, you know, and some of you, he'll show different things and he'll move you through life. And if you watch his nudging and his leading, it really doesn't look like God speaking a lot of times. But if you're sensitive to it, remember we talked about he's a revealer. He hides and then he wants to be found. And if you want to find him, you'll look backwards and you'll go, oh, that's really cool. And then stop and then analyze it. Say, okay, what was I feeling at that time? What was I sensing? What should I have seen? What should have I recognized? And you'll start recognizing more of those moments, and then you'll get understanding, and you'll start knowing how God wants to move in this situation. You'll tap in to that ever-present help in time of trouble. Does that make sense? You'll get the mind of Christ for your situation. You'll get that God wants to move right now, and he wants to use me. He wants me to be the agent of change. Not always. God moves independent of me sometimes, but a lot of times he really wants to use you. He doesn't just want you to pray about it and then walk away. He wants to use you. He wants to give you some insight about it. He wants your mind to be sensitive and your spirit to rise up and say, okay, mind, here's the thoughts you need to think. Here's what your mouth needs to say. Here's what your hands need to do. Here's where your feet need to go. Here's how you can handle it. And just with one shift in how you see that situation, it just can open up and God can just move. How cool is that? Does that kind of make sense? So it's all about listening. We've got to take some time to listen. We need to know how God speaks. We need to know his word. We need to know what he's saying. Amen? Pray in the Spirit. Let We need those God moments. We need those times when our skin's got goosebumps and God, you know, we need those times too. We need to be filled up. Sometimes we need people to come around us and pray for things that we've picked up and just need to be broken off our lives. We need encouragement. We need all that stuff. But yet there's times when God in our everyday life doesn't want our thinking to be futile. He wants our spirits to rise up. He wants us to hear God's mind for this situation. Amen?